Welcome to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD, where we talk about anything farm, fresh, and food-related. My name is Sarah Severson, and today we have with us Dan Hobbs, a cooperative specialist with the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union. Dan is responsible for providing technical and financial services to new, emerging, and existing cooperatives and other member-owned businesses in the rural areas of southern Colorado and northern New Mexico. Dan's a fifth-generation Coloradan and has been working in the rural development field for 20 years. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So let's get a little bit of history of the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union to start us off with as a foundation.
Okay, great. It's got a long, rich history, the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union does. The original roots of the organization really come out of the populist movement in the 1880s, 1890s. There was some precursor organizations to the Farmers Union, such as the Grange and various other farmers' alliances. These organizations were basically fighting for fair share, fair dollar to rural farm families. They were challenging the robber barons on the railroads, banks, other corporate elites. And many of these organizations did not survive, but one that emerged from those old populist traditions was the Farmers Union, founded in 1907 in Colorado. And the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union serves three states, Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. We have three distinct organizations that work in collaboration. One is the Farmers Union Service Agency, an insurance company that's actually the seventh largest insurance company in Metro Denver, does all kinds of different farm and, you know, personal family insurance. That's important because profits from the insurance company help fund the charitable and educational work of the Farmers Union. So the second organization is a 501c5 advocacy organization that works on the Farm Bill and in the state legislatures in Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. And then the third leg is the foundation, which is the branch that I work under, and we do educational programs, leadership training for new farmers, and cooperative development, which is specifically the work I'm involved in.
Okay, great. And give us a little bit of an idea of what a cooperative specialist does.
Great question. So there's approximately 30 cooperative development centers across North America. Farmers Union's been working with the cooperative business model since the 1900s, early 1900s. But in 1996, we formally set up what we call the co-op center. And essentially, we help rural groups, mostly farmers and ranchers, but other groups that may want to form worker co-ops or grocery type food co-ops. We help them during the startup stages. So usually about 3 years from the process of creating a vision to pulling a board of directors together, forming a business plan, and securing financing. So really specialize in the startup of new co-ops, but we've also been known to go in and help existing co-ops if they're having some troubles or do some kind of board of director training, special initiatives, things like that.
Okay.
And I should also just quickly add that it's not just the cooperative model, but basically we're interested in groups of producers working together. So that includes LLCs and other business forms.
Okay. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. Today we have in the studio with us Dan Hobbs, cooperative specialist with the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union. So this is an interesting model, cooperatives, because the first thing I think of is that seems like a difficult task to get farmers together to cooperate. They seem like very individual, you know, independent people. What's your experience with that?
Yeah, that is definitely a challenge with independent entrepreneurs, getting them to work together. But basically, cooperatives come about based on a real need or a real opportunity. So in the case of a lot of the producer cooperatives we're working with, economies of scale is kind of a thing that really bands people together. For example, I'm involved with, I'm based in the Pueblo area, just east of Pueblo, and we have a co-op here called the Arkansas Valley Organic Growers. And this is approximately seven small independent family farms that were all basically doing their own production, their own marketing, their own distribution. And over time, these growers began to see that there were some serious benefits working together, staying off the highways, saving fuel, having more time on the farm with their families, more time to be good managers. And so there was a compelling reason to get together. So I think that's the key thing, is if there's a compelling opportunity or a compelling need, people are more predisposed to get together. That said, there's lots of big personalities out there, and the cooperative model isn't necessarily for everyone.
Are you noticing a lot of groups of producers banding together across the region that you work in southern Colorado and northern New Mexico?
Yeah, absolutely. There's been a big surge in interest in co-ops. You know, I think especially since, recent hard economic times, it's led more people to work together. Also, the sort of growing local food movement has created new opportunities. So, I've been involved in this work for approximately 20 years, and just, I would say, these last 4 years, we've really seen a surge in interest in the countryside for the cooperative business model.
Can you give us an example of one of a success story of a cooperative really producing well and working well together?
Yeah. So again, there's because the cooperative business model incorporates a lot of different economic sectors. We've got food co-ops, worker co-ops, producer co-ops. Some big businesses are co-ops, too. It's interesting to note Ocean Spray, Land O'Lakes, Ace Hardware. These are kind of, national names that a lot of people don't know are co-ops. So it's not just small rural business. So I just kind of wanted to put that into context. But at the local level, probably the single most successful co-op is the food co-op La Montanita in New Mexico, which started in 1976 and now has, I think they're opening their sixth store in New Mexico here this fall, and they're up to about a $30 million business, and there's just lots of benefits to consumers and also to producers as that food co-op grows. It's creating new opportunities for farmers and ranchers. And then at the producer co-op level, there's probably two that I would cite immediately kind of in the neighborhood. One is the Sweetgrass co-op based out of Alamosa. This is a rancher co-op working on selling whole carcasses of beef and cuts actually into that La Montanita system. They're about 3-4 years old and growing nicely. And this other group that I mentioned, the Arkansas Valley Organic Growers, or AVOG for short, is in the process of opening what we think is the first food hub in the state of Colorado.
Oh, that's exciting. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. We're talking with Dan Hobbs, cooperative specialist with the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back with more of the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. We're back with more of the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. I'm talking with Dan Hobbs, cooperative specialist with the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union. So, Dan, we were talking about the Arkansas Valley Community Growers as the first food hub in Colorado. Can you explain to our listeners what a food hub is?
Sure. Food hubs are kind of a big new trend. You know how several years ago farmers markets were on everybody's mind. Food hub seems to be the talk of the country now. USDA is putting some significant resources into the formation of these things. And essentially what they are is, think of an old produce packing house. It's kind of along the lines of that, a place where food is aggregated and distributed and marketed. So for local food systems, these food hubs are a critical piece. And they're set up differently in all parts of the country. Some run as nonprofit organizations, some run as for-profits, some run as kind of hybrids. This one that we're setting up in eastern Pueblo County is operated by the Arkansas Valley Organic Growers Cooperative, and it has a partner organization, a nonprofit called New Farms, which is supplying some of the capital to get the project started, so renovating a community kitchen, that kind of thing.
Is the Arkansas Valley Community Growers Cooperative, is that a nonprofit or a for-profit?
That is a for-profit. Yeah, co-ops are kind of an interesting business model. They are set up to do business. They are set up for profit, but the profit gets returned to the members in the form of dividends. So the co-op itself functions rather like a nonprofit, but they do exist to make money and you know, if they're lucky and there's a good business model, become profitable.
And what is the advantage of having partnering with a nonprofit organization? So you have the cooperative and then the nonprofit.
Yeah, this is very, these kind of strategic partnerships are really important for these emerging co-ops, especially if they have small and resource-limited producers as their membership. A lot of these types of growers do not have access to traditional forms of capital, do not have money to invest to grow the business. And, you know, as members of a co-op, you're an owner. So building equity is very challenging for these groups. And so oftentimes we see a nonprofit partner involved in these kind of projects in the early years to get them launched.
Okay. And so that nonprofit's bringing in funds through its various mechanisms of grants and fundraisers, that sort of thing?
Yeah, correct. In the case of the Food Hub, the organization New Farms raised $285,000, which will be devoted to putting up coolers, freezers, and a commercial kitchen so that growers can add value to their products.
Okay, great. Well, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Dan Hobbs, cooperative specialist with the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union. Dan, what do you feel like the successful components to a cooperative are? I know we've had a lot of discussions in our region around creating different cooperatives with farmers and businesses, different organizations around the region. What do you feel like those successful components of a cooperative are?
Oh, great. For many years I thought that the good planning process was kind of the key thing, and that's of course critically important to have, kind of an analysis of what you're proposing to do and a plan of how to execute it. So that's still very important. But the thing that I've really been focused more on recently is the mix of people that's starting the cooperative and the leadership that they bring to the table. You've got to have kind of a project champion, or better yet, a group of project champions that are willing to do the hard work to put these things together. Often these projects will start with a lot of excitement, and then when you get into the drudgery and kind of the basic stuff of setting up a business, it's tough work and it takes dedicated people. So I think the leadership and the individuals who want to see it succeed might be number one, and then a good plan, and then good financing. Actually, there's a fourth component, too. It would be good management. A lot of cooperative projects have failed as a result of poor or shaky management.
Boy, so that's quite a list, I mean, of things to bring to the table. Is that, how often are they successful? How often do they fail?
Yeah, cooperatives, well, all new businesses are vulnerable. The statistics kind of nationwide demonstrate that co-ops have a slightly better success rate as new businesses than sole proprietorships and other forms of businesses. But, it's about 50-50.
50-50,
really.
I was wondering. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say 50-50. So I think also, these projects take time, and just having patience and flexibility and starting with kind of a low overhead model is often important, you know, whether it's a resource limited group or one with you know, better capital behind them, taking it slow, and we, our kind of co-op speak term is chunking the process, taking small manageable bites, you know, adding pieces on. For some reason, it tends to be a trend where people will make a very complex project up front. So often at this visioning stage, we're involved in trying to pare things down into manageable pieces.
And so do you guys come in, you know, if you have a group of really interested farmers, say, producers, but they have no cooperative experience, can you come in and offer that training and expertise?
Yep. Yep, absolutely. We do a lot of that. We do a lot of co-op 101 workshops, training boards of directors, giving presentations at annual meetings, helping new managers kind of find their footing. There's tons of great materials out there that, well, within the Farmers Union, but also USDA, Rural Development has a great series of publications on co-ops, management, board functions, financing, different things like that. But yeah, absolutely, we're there to work side by side with these emerging groups, and we also provide small funding at the startup stage. So oftentimes we'll pay for half of a business plan, for example, or you know, a portion of a marketing campaign, or you know, we like to match our dollars against other dollars, but we do provide some financial resources for at the startup also.
Great. Dan, why are you involved in this type of work?
Big question. I think it started for me. I grew up in downtown Denver, and I had an opportunity to work in South America as a young person during summers, and I worked with agricultural communities in South America, and that's really how I was introduced to farming, and I just took a liking to it, and straight out of college, I started interning on farms, and also had a proclivity for the development side of the work, and so I've been kind of marching these things along for the last number of years, our own 30-acre farming operation, and then working in the field with other farmers.
Great. Well, we certainly appreciate the work that you do in southern Colorado and northern New Mexico, and the stick-to-itiveness you've had for the last 20 years to be in rural development. Dan, if there's any contact information or website information for folks that might be interested in a cooperative model of the work that you do?
Sure. Yeah, the Farmers Union main website is rmfu.org, and a good number to contact me at is 719-250-9835. And, yeah, maybe just a couple parting words. There's a lot of great activity over there in the Four Corners region, a lot of producers working together, trying to work together. And so we've been coming over about quarterly to help with various projects, and we're just excited about where things might go in that region.
Great. Thanks so much, Dan. Really appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you. Have a good September.
All right. You too. That was Dan Hobbs, cooperative specialist with the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union. You're listening to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. Tune in 2 weeks on September 17th at 8:30 a.m. for the next edition, where we'll be talking with the Montezuma County School District Food Service Directors about the increase in local food in school lunches and how producers can get involved. I'm Sarah Severson, your host, signing off saying, friend a farmer this week. Thanks for listening and have a great day.